Morning. Welcome everyone to this morning's service. It's a great day. It's a special day. It's a wonderful day. Today is a day that the Lord hath made. We're going to depart from our normal worship service in that we have a baptism that'll be occurring here shortly, the Lord willing, as one has joined the church, and we want to welcome them to fellowship in the body. So to begin with, we'll have a song, and then I'll introduce Brother Ricky for the next step. But for now, in the Songs to Remember, the Yellow Book, number 12, old song we all love, The Old Rugged Cross.
Sam, for some of you, you're not that late. What we're doing today, we have a baptizing today. And so that kind of changes the scheme up, is what it does. And we are going to baptize Sister Terry here in just a little bit. And I'll say this, if anybody else is prepared to join the church and be baptized today, you are welcome to come before the church here in just a minute, and that's what I'm going to do here in just a minute. I do want to welcome everyone here today. We're glad to have all of our visitors with us. I hope and pray that you get a blessing out of this service today, and I pray that we can just have such a great, great blessing that the Lord will see fit to just lift up the rafters of the church house. We'll say it that way. Wouldn't that be great today? We were blessed with a good revival meeting, a lot of good spirit, a lot of good testifying that was done during this past week, and a lot of really good singing, and it was just wonderful in all ways is what I can say. But we're past that, aren't we? Amen. We're not to look back. The Bible tells us, he said, a man that put his hand to the plow and looketh back, he is not fit for the kingdom of God. So we're not to look back at those things that happened in the past. We're to go forward is what we're supposed to do. And so today we're moving forward. As I said, we're fixing to have a baptizing today. And one of the things that I want to do today is give an opportunity for members. We always try to do that. I grew up where you went down to the water's edge, and I mean down to the creek or the river. And in my case, I went to the ocean and done some baptizing a few times. There's not many preachers that has that blessing. But we went to the water's edge is what we did for the baptizings there. Brother Stewart got to witness a couple of those baptisms that we had there. And the idea is at the water's edge, there may be somebody there that needs to join the Lord's church and has been praying about it. And if you're one of those today, I hope and pray that you'll follow the Lord and that you will allow the Lord to have His way in your life. It's necessary that we follow God. And the Bible gives us a commandment to follow the Lord in baptism. That's what He told us to do. Excuse me. So let's keep those things in our mind. Now, we are accepting members into this church by experience and baptism. And that means that you have been saved by the grace of God and you can tell about it. We believe in a time and place where that you got saved and where I got saved. And so we believe in a believer's baptism. I preached that here a few weeks ago. And believer's baptism is somebody who has been saved and can tell you about it, can witness to others about it. And so thus they will come forward and tell about when they got saved, whether it was at home or in church or wherever it is that you got saved. It doesn't matter where you got saved. It just matters that God cleaned your soul up. So we take you by membership, by experience and baptism in that way. We also take members by letter or credit letter from a sister church of like faith and order. And what that means is if you have your letter with you, we'll read it today and you'll be brought into the church today. We'll also, if you do not have your letter from that said church, we'll send for it. And when the letter is read and approved in conference, you'll be fully a member of this church. We also take members by restoration. And what that means is if there's someone here today that has been excluded from this body for some ungodly reason that they were doing, we will receive you back hearing your apology to the church and to God, and we'll do that today. So while we sing this next song, I'll meet you down here in front, and you can come forward, and we'll hear your testimony about your salvation, and the church will act appropriately upon you at this time. Brother Sam, if you would.
While we stand, number 61. 61.
Yeah.
we get into the water there. And we just ask your prayers first and foremost, and just sing in the Spirit as you always do.
All right. We'll sing until the administrator and the candidate are prepared, so somebody might have to signal me if I'm unaware of that. But anyway, let's turn to number 34. Number 34, I was saved by grace.
Again, we want to thank everyone for being here today, and let's be prayerful for Sister Terry that she'll be the member that God wants her to be of this church. By the authority of Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, I now baptize this, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sam?
Sing one more song, number two. Number two.
Thank you.
God be the glory. We welcome each one of you here to the service, especially the visitors. I want you to take part in this service today. It's been a great day. We're glad to be able to see another baptism service over here. And as we believe, as the Bible teaches, you know, the work was done on Miss Terry's soul before she came to the water. I'm reminding of the long ago when King Solomon made contract with King Hiram over in the next country there and made provisions to get supplies to build the temple. And they did all the work on the materials over back there where they came from in the hills of Lebanon. They cut down the trees and hewed the logs and cut the stones, did all the works on the metal, and they hauled it to the place of the temple. They barged it through part of it through water. And they laid the foundation, and then they started erecting the building. And it says in there that during the building and erecting of this structure that there was neither the sound of a hammer nor of any tool of cutting. Everything was made ready and was put in the building. So to me, that's emblematic of the Lord doing the work on the soul when he adds it to his church. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we're not relying on, you know, circumstance. We're not relying on rituals, but only our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the saving of the soul. And so we can appreciate that. So again, we're glad you're here, and we want you to take part in the service. And we will go to the Lord in prayer as we normally do. We want the Lord to be on the scene and be here helping us, because we can't always rightly divine what the service needs to be. Lord willing, Ricky will preach in a little bit, but before then, we do want to pray, thank God for his blessings, and we'll solicit any praise report, any prayer request at this time that you might have before that we do pray. Anything at all. Bless. Okay. Appreciate this request. Just remember Brother Rodney's friend Mark and co-worker. Is that right? Former co-worker. Okay. God can work great things and great miracles in ways we don't understand. So it behooves us, and we're now obligated, now that our brother has mentioned that, to pray for him. And there's others in the church, perhaps in the bulletin, I have not looked at it. I'm sure that we always have a standing prayer list. Obviously for the lost people, we pray on your behalf that you'll come to know the Lord. And there's elderly in the church that don't get to visit with us, and let's pray for their well-being and continue to pray for those. Anything else? Okay. Just remember that. The Lord will watch over. Yes. Remember that. Appreciate this request. I'll interject with one of our own. Please pray for Priscilla's Aunt Ruby in her situation, her family. Both her husband and her son have advanced cancer. And Uncle Carl, his was in his esophagus, in that part of his body, and he's fought it for a long time, but it seems to be wanting to get the upper hand here lately. And I believe in prayer, Brother Leslie. I believe in us uniting our hearts and our efforts. And it goes without saying that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. So not sure of the prognosis here. He seems to be holding his own, and I'm talking about Uncle Carl and her son is named Tad, and they've both had treatments, and Uncle Carl has got to the point where it's hard for him to swallow and take solid food, and he didn't want to have a feeding tube put in, and so he's ready to go meet his maker, but still it's a sad situation there for our Aunt Ruby. So I selfishly ask that you pray for her in that situation. Anything else? Okay. Thank you, Sister Donna. Appreciate that request. Anything else? Remember this. You know, I think the Lord jots all this down, you know, either in his mind or in his providence. And there's a record. And these prayer requests go before him. So let's just remember to continue to pray. Anything else? If not, we won't hinder the service anymore, but we'll ask someone to lead. But we'll ask everybody, if you can, to pray. Brother Leslie, would you lead our prayer, please? Appreciate that. May the Lord add his blessing to your gift and donation. Continue to sing. Let's do number 199. 199. Great thoughts in that one. Amen. I can barely sing that last verse without thinking of my own mother there. Brother Tim, it's going to be nothing like it. And there's another vision of what we're going to have on there. Number 193, Mansion Over the Hilltop. you ready? Well, I want to sing a couple of verses of number 88. Number 88, first and last.
Thanks, Sister Rachel. Appreciate the good singing this morning and playing. Glad for the good songs today. And let's be prayerful for our service today. I didn't tell Brother Sam. There was a lady passed a note to me other day during the backpack giveaway and asking for prayer for Victoria Wiseman. I know you've done prayed, but you can pray again is what you can do. And you better be praying for me today is what you better be doing. I need your prayers. And I pray that the Lord will bless today in this service. Thankful for everything that went on this week, especially the young lady that got saved. As we said in Sunday school, I wish the other 15 that was on my list would have gotten saved. I wish they'd have gotten saved too. And I want to encourage them to seek the Lord whenever he puts it upon them, first and foremost. I want to say to the church, I appreciated all the good testimonies that we had. They was all a lot of good testifying. Some that I'd never heard say a testimony before or speak before. And I was thankful for them. I wished all of them was here today for that, and so I could commend them again. But that was really, really good for me. I think everybody enjoyed their testimonies during the week, and I'm just praying that we'll be blessed more and more with the Lord's Spirit working in us throughout these coming days. And as I said, remember these prayer requests, especially remember these that are unsaved. And let's pray that the Lord will give us a good service today. Be a good day. It would be a good day for somebody to get saved, wouldn't it? And so it doesn't have to be in revival. That's one thing we know for sure here. We saw it happen different times. Not during revival is a good time to be saved. So If you're here today and you know that you're a sinner in the sight of God and you want to pray, these altars are always open. I don't always mention that. But these altars are always open to the saved and to the sinners alike to come and pray. Pray for your soul's salvation is what I'd say to those that are sinfuls. I tell you that. Come and pray for your soul's salvation. I will say this. You don't have to be on one of these benches to get saved, though. You don't need my help. What you need is God. That's all you need is God. And He'll save your soul if you'll believe on the work of His Son, that He died on the cross, that He rose again for your sins. He'll surely do that. Okay, anybody got anything on your heart? Anybody remember where I took my devotional from last week? Uh-oh. Oh, I got one. Book of Mark, chapter 16. That's where we're going to read today. I'm not reading the same thing, but I want you to go to the 16th chapter of the book of Mark. It's been kind of one of them weeks. Earlier in the week, I had a thought, and I thought, well, that's what I'm going to preach my next sermon. Then later on in the week, I had another thought. Went through that in my mind and had all of that together. Went to starting to study for this message. Lord, am I supposed to preach that first? No. Lord, am I supposed to preach that second? No. Okay, Lord, where are we going? Went right back here. So y'all be prayerful for me today as we try to bring a message that will glorify God today. And hopefully it'll uplift our souls as saved individuals. But I hope it'll also warn the unsaved today also. Reading from chapter 16 of the book of Mark, we're going to start with verse 9. This is right after that Jesus has arose from the grave. And it says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with Him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that He was alive and had been seen of her, what's them next two words? Believe not. Uh-oh. Now, 12th verse. And after that, He appeared to in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. Notice that next phrase. Neither believed they them. Now, wait a minute here. This is the disciples of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, isn't it? These are the ones that had basically lived with Him for better than 3.5 years, wasn't it? And had learned of Him the doctrine of God. They had heard Him say what was fixing to happen as far as they was going to be condemned to die and would be crucified. He had brought it right out plainly unto them. I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to die on the cross, but in 3 days I'm going to rise again. And they're still saying, I'm not believing. Now, let's move to verse 14. Afterwards, He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, at dinner in other words, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. That's our reading lesson, verses 9 through 14 today for our reading lesson. That's the 16th chapter of Mark. I want to kind of use as our thought today coming from this 14th verse, and particular words that we're going to bring out today is, and upbraided them for with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Now, I'm not going to get so much into the hardness of their heart, but I want to go especially how that the Lord upbraided them for their hardness or for their unbelief. Now, upbraiding is a word that we do not use anymore in our English language. There are several words like that in the King James Version, and that's okay. As long as we go and see what it means. You can kind of guess from the reading lesson today what he was talking about as far as upbraiding them. And that really, what Webster calls it is, it is to charge with something wrong or disgraceful. It is a type of reproof, in other words. In other words, he was going to them and saying, why did you not believe? You've got eyewitnesses here. Mary Magdalene witnessed me walking there in the garden, and basically, when she came and told you that she saw me, you didn't believe her. The two gentlemen that went to Emmaus, you'll find that in the book of Luke, and it says that they were walking on their way, and they were discussing what had happened in the past few days about his condemnation, talking about Jesus, about his death on the cross, and even that day, the resurrection of Jesus, and Jesus comes up in between them and said, what kind of communication or what kind of discussion are you talking about? And they began to tell him about what had happened. And then he opened up the scriptures to them, showing them what must have happened to the Son of God, is what he did. So a little bit later, when they sit down to eat again, and truthfully, this is one of my favorite verses. You know, I've got a lot of those favorite verses. But they said, when that he broke the bread and he blessed it, their eyes was opened, and they knew who he was at that moment in time. And the Bible says he was taken from them at that very moment in time. But yet they ran back to Jerusalem to tell, as it says here, the residue. That's just the few that are waiting there in that upper room. I don't know exactly how many was there. I would say there was at least the 11 apostles. I think they was there. There might have been a few others that were there, maybe even Mary Magdalene. I don't know who was there, but the Bible calls them a residue. Just a few that was there. And yet they still did not believe. Now, what does the Bible tell us about a witness? It says, in the mouths of two or three witnesses, the truth shall be known. We had Mary Magdalene who said, he is risen. I saw him. We saw these two brethren. They came back. He has risen. We've seen him. My goodness. And still they believe not, the scripture says. In this today, I want us to think just about what disbelief is. Disbelief is, unbelief is disbelief. I got it backwards, excuse me there. It is a lack of faith. Are you one that is ever in a place where you have a lack of faith? I've been there. A lot of times. I've been there a lot of times. But what I want us today to keep in mind today, that there is one that can help us with our faith, with our belief in these things. We that are saved today, we know that the Lord has risen. We know that he's alive today. But yet the devil will get a hold of us from time to time, and what he will do, he will cause us to question certain things that are going on, won't he? He will cause us even to question what's in this word here sometimes. Well, I don't understand it. I don't see how that could happen. You know, that was the very thing that the disciples were doing in that day. They couldn't understand how a man could come back alive. But wait a minute. Think about those three individuals that the Lord rose from the dead. Excuse me here. I want you to think about today how that these individuals saw the woman whose child had died, or excuse me, the man whose child had died, and he went up there and he just took her by the hand and said, "Maid, arise." Everybody had said that she was dead, and yet they saw her alive. Think about how that day when they came upon a funeral procession, and the young boy, the only child of this woman, she saw that child dead. Apparently long enough that they was taking him to bury him is what they were doing. And Jesus just comes by and he lays his hand on the pole there that day. And immediately life comes back to him. Immediately, or just a little while after that, the scripture says that there was a friend of Jesus named Lazarus. And Jesus went to revive him, is what he says. He said, "Lazarus is dead." In other words, he knew he'd been dead. And when he got to Bethany where Lazarus and his family lived, we find what the scripture tells us is about how that Martha comes out. And she said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, he would not have died." He said, "I am the resurrection of life." I'm cutting this a little bit short. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe that I am, your brother shall live again." And her statement was, "I know that he'll live in that day." Meaning in the last day, in the day of resurrection for all things. But Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." My friends, today, these disciples saw Jesus go to that grave. He saw them as he told them, "Roll away the stone away from his grave." They said, "Lord, he stinks by now. He's been there 4 days. He stinks now." But we don't want to do that. And what the scripture tells us is in that very day, Jesus prayed. Did he pray for himself? Or did he pray for those that was listening? He was praying that they might hear. And I love his first statement. "Lord, I know that you hear me." You know, that is a true faith or belief that Jesus had in that day. "Lord, I know that you believe, that you hear me." Do you ever get into that kind of shape where that when you pray, you are praying, "Lord, I know you're listening to me. Lord, I know that you are just listening to me right now." Oh, there's been different times in my life when that I got down to pray, and maybe I started off a little bit slow, but then the Spirit of God got a hold of me and I started praying with the help of the Spirit, and it felt like I just had a hold of the Lord's hand and he was holding mine, and as I was praying, he was giving me the words and I was giving them right back to him. That's how you really pray truthfully right there. You let the Spirit of the Lord guide. He'll give it to you and you give it right back. See, God knows all of our needs. He knows what we want already. But he wants us to ask for those things that we need. But what about our unbelief? Are we guilty of that? You find in the scripture, in the 9th chapter of Mark, there was a man who had a son that was possessed of devils, the Bible said. And it cast him into the fire different times, and cast him into the water, that he would almost die at different times. Now, the Bible actually calls him a lunatic here in these scriptures here. But what the scripture said, he brought him to the disciples, the apostles themselves, and they could not cast him out. So they brought him to the Lord. And what the scripture says about him here is this. In this chapter, the Lord said unto him, how long has he been in this shape? And he says, of a child. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And listen to the man. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. We like that a lot of times, aren't we? Lord, I believe. But he said, help thou my unbelief. We're guilty of that sometimes, aren't we? We're guilty of not fully believing. Oh, I can remember as a sinner seeking God upon the altars. And basically what I would do, you've heard me say this, and I'll cut this as short as I can. I had a prayer that I'd repeat over and over and over, and I didn't get anywhere. I thought I was doing exactly what I needed to do. And I thought that I was believing. I was promising him whatever that I could, that he would save me. I'd do it. I was doing all the things that in my mind seemed to be right. But what was the problem? Lord, help thou my unbelief. That is one of their downfalls, isn't it? The man said, Lord, help thou my unbelief. Now, if you go over into Matthew, I want to finish this up here. Into this place here, and what the scripture says, why that the disciples could not cast him out. I want you to get this. In chapter 17 of the book of Matthew, Mark doesn't put this part in here, but Matthew doesn't put in there about how the man, how he said, help thou my unbelief. But Jesus, when the disciples asked him, why couldn't we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. A lot of times we go to the Lord in prayer, and basically what we do is, Lord, would you please help us? But there's a part back here in the back of our mind that's saying, Lord, I don't know if you will or not. Am I right? Am I right about that? We have a part, I pointed right here, actually it's back in here, I guess, where it is, the back of our mind, that we have that unbelief. Now, I want you to notice the rest of that. He said, because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, be removed hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. How big is a mustard seed? If I was holding one, you would not be able to see it right now. They're hard to see. To me, they're kind of like what I grew up with, a tobacco plant seed. You know, you could put 10,000 tobacco plant seeds in a teaspoon. That's how many was in there. And a mustard seed's much like that. But what I'm trying to tell you, it doesn't take much faith to move a mountain. You see, many times that doubt gets in there, and we need to be like that gentleman was, that was there with the Lord, with his son. Lord, help thou my unbelief. Lord, please, I need help with this. Lord, I believe you can do it. Help my unbelief. What have we been praying for lately? I know what I've been praying for a lot lately. I do. I'm not going to go into details, but I've been praying a lot lately. I prayed a lot last week is what I did. I prayed a lot over the last several weeks, and most of it had to do with these kids over here that's lost and those that's not here today. That's where most of it went. Lord, help my unbelief. I know that God will save them, and I don't say that passively. I do believe he will save them if they'll trust in him. You see, this mountain here that we're talking about today, and you don't have any mountains. You don't have any hills like I do up my house. You see, the thing that I have up my house, I've got hills up there at probably a few hundred feet in elevation at least, maybe even 1,000 feet in elevation. You go up into East Tennessee where Brother Tom is from, you've got mountains that makes my hills look like molehills, don't they? They got things up there. But you think about the faith that Jesus is talking about. Just a little bit of faith, and you can move a mountain. But don't be expecting to get up the next morning and say, well, that's what I thought. Wouldn't be. It's still here. You got to believe it with everything that you have. That's true for us. That's true for sinners, isn't it? When you fully trust in him, he will completely save your soul. Now, we see individuals daily, don't we, that needs our prayers. Let me give you a quick example. How many of you heard about the backpack giveaway and what really happened? I know there's a few of you who was here. We was out there. They was lined up out the street and all down that way there. You know, that was a lack of faith on us. We didn't expect that. We should have expected to be able to help that many people, but we couldn't. We had a lady walked up, and she said, I need to get in the shade for a little bit. Can I just rest here a little while? She'd gotten out of line, older lady. And she got there in that place there for a little bit, and I kept looking at her, and I said, you want to go inside where it's cool? She said, if I can. We got the door open for her. She went in and sat down in those seats right over there, and her eyes rolled back in her head. You know what? You'll pray, won't you? Me and Paul didn't know she wasn't going to die right there in our church house. But we prayed. Did we get down on our knees and pray with her and try to heal her? No. Lord, you take care of this matter. We called 911 like we should. They came. By that time, she was revived up, and she refused to go. Her daughter had to come care to the emergency room to make the story short. But I want you to know something. When you pray believing, and I'm going to tell you right now, it wasn't just me and Paula praying. I'm pretty sure Brother Leslie and Miss Carolyn, Miss Lane, Miss Ruth, the kids that was here that knew the Lord, I think we was all praying for her. We didn't want her to die. In this message today, you know why I struggle with this message so much? Oh, Lord, we had a good revival, didn't we? We saw people testifying. Saw a 17-year-old girl get saved. Oh, man, sure, her smile was good, wasn't it? You that saw it, it was really, really wonderful to watch her because she'd been changed on the inside. We had people testifying. My goodness, it was good in that way, wasn't it? We saw the Spirit moving in that way, didn't we? Brother Ben was bringing the Word of God to the best that he could, wasn't he? Yet, I don't know about you, I was not satisfied. I was not satisfied. You know why I wasn't satisfied? Lord, help thou my unbelief. I pray there was more saved that we don't know about yet. I do. I pray that they'll, maybe they got saved. I don't know. That's one thing that I don't have the ability to do, know when somebody gets saved. I watched her smile, and I thought it, but until she told me about it, I didn't know it. Some of you that testified for the very first time, I've heard you say different things about it, but boy, when you told me about when you got saved, well, I'll leave it at that. What a blessing it is to believe what God can do. Think back to a time. I'm not talking about your soul. I'm going to put this in a natural state here. Think back to a time when you didn't know how to handle a situation. You know, I guess I'd go back to when my daddy died. I was almost 1,000 miles away. Mother called. She said, "I think your daddy's died." First thing out of my heart, out of my mind was, "Lord, help." Y'all know those kind of situations. Some of you, it may have been your own illness, cancer, or maybe a heart attack or something like that. May have been when your child was sick. Boy, we've been there a few times, haven't we? May have been when your child hit the altar. Or when they looked up at you and they told you, "I'm lost." Might have been that time. Or you get helpless right then, don't you? And you start to pray, "Lord, help thou my unbelief." It's natural, but don't use it as an excuse like these men did. "Well, Lord, We didn't know for sure. We hadn't seen you till right now." In the mouths of two or three witnesses, the truth shall be known. Yet they believed not until they saw him. Actually, if you go back and read in the Gospels about what they did, the Lord started upbraiding them about their unbelief, and then he started revealing himself to them. And he said, "Here, look at my hands." And they still was questioning him. You know what he had to do? He had to eat in front of them. Now, I still kind of question that. Why in the world did that finally get to him? That he eat a piece of honeycomb and a piece of fish, that really got to him? Hey, it's him. While we stand and sing today, if you're a sinner, I hope you can believe in the Lord today. If he's drawing you to him, he's doing it for a purpose today. If he's tugging on your heart, you need to go to him. If he's not tugging on your heart, you need to ask him why he's not tugging on your heart. For us that are saved, Lord, help our unbelief. While we stand and sing.
178. 178.